Krishna. Today, second verse of the second chapter of 12th canto, Shukadeva Goswami says, in Kali Yuga, wealth alone will be considered the sign of a man's good birth, proper behavior, and fine qualities, and law and justice will be applied only on the basis of one's power. Well, do we know that in the world that we live in, as they say, money talks, everyone values wealth. Wealth is an indication of success, an indication of happiness, an indication, as it's stated here, that someone's got good qualities, in other words, that he's imitable, and that he's from a good family or aristocratic family. About this latter, for instance, nowadays people can purchase in England a peerage, lordship. In other words, you can buy your place in society if you have wealth. Money. And just back to that point of people consider wealth to be a sign of success. If you go on BBC, you will find an article that questions do people in China really consider wealth to be a sign of success, happiness. And they, in a great majority, say yes. Other countries are also listed there as those countries who, or those people who measure their success by their wealth, personal wealth. And China's number one. And who's number two? When I asked in the class, many devotees answered America. I said, no, it's not America. Number two is India. Dharma Bhumi, Tapa Bhumi, the place of austerity and religion. They've concluded now that the real source of happiness is not the quest for the eternal soul, not in serving the Supreme Lord, not in austerity and sacrifice and charity, but in accumulating wealth. What a shame. And of course, needless to say, the same opinion is there in most parts of the world, although we end up seeing that the wealthy people are not happy. They don't have a real plan for success. They can't keep their marriages together. That means they can't keep their love life together. They can't keep their families together. In other words, they don't, their children don't even like them. They're often addicted to alcohol, intoxicants, depressants, painkillers, and so many other things, because in short, they can't stand themselves and they can't stand their lives. And their lives sometimes end in suicide as a result of that. So, but still, they're the role models. How the wealthy behave, and especially the visible wealthy, the actors, the musicians, these are the ones who people really see. And then, of course, the businessmen are not so visible, but still some are. And then there are the politicians and others who become wealthy by exploiting the state. And they become the role models. How do the actors and musicians dress and wear? So then people also consider, well, this is the style. And style means this is what you emulate. Therefore, these are the qualities, the movements, the way of talking, their behavior, their lifestyle. And as here, Bhagavatam states, janma, achara, gunodaya. the qualities, the behavior, the birth, and all of these things are determined. So you're successed by what you have externally, which is really natural or understandable in a society where everything is based upon the body, where people's identity is bodily based, and therefore satisfaction of the body, of the senses, externals are the ways by which you judge whether someone is happy or not, or successful or not. You have no other way of judging because you don't believe in the imperishable soul and don't believe in that culture that says that external achievement is not so important. It's not important what you are, but it's really important who you are. It's important that you know your spiritual identity. It's important that the love, the ecstatic love that is dormant within the hearts of everyone is actually awakened. And then whether you're wealthy or not, that's up to your karma. But it's not something that necessarily or at all is an indication of real success. So by modern standards, therefore, eternal associate of the Lord Kolovecha Sridhar, he's a failure. Goswamis who slept under trees, had no possessions, are failures. They're not people whose qualities, lifestyles, etc. should be followed. And by that measure, of course, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, a sannyasi with no belongings, living in the house of another and having only, doesn't matter, his danda was broken, just a kamandalu, is also a failure. What you are within, that you're a self-realized soul, that you're ornamented with all the qualities of Vibhava, Sattvika Bhava, Sanchari Bhava, and so on, that doesn't count. This is not what counts. What counts is how much money you got in your bank balance, how much paper you've accumulated in your life with numbers on it, although the paper itself is not worth anything, and the fact that the so-called wealth is in itself false. But it's the temporal wealth, that wealth which you're going to lose, that wealth which does you no good at the time of death. So we should be well aware that this is a trapping of Kali Yuga, and not dedicate ourselves and our lives to the attainment of wealth. Sure, money used in the service of the Lord is valuable and important, but it's not as important as being Krishna conscious. That's more important. And that is the success of a religious organization measurable in terms of its wealth, in terms of its assets. We see so many religious organizations that have so many buildings and properties and wealth, but they've actually lost their message. They lost the spirituality, the spiritual essence of their message. So what's the use? In fact, our previous Indian ambassador here was very fond of going on to give good seminars on the futility of measuring success by GDP, because that's how countries sort of evaluate how well they're doing, how successful they are by their GDP, and GDP really means how much people are spending, how much money has been spent and generated in a country. So he pointed out such very good things that, well, what a country spends is really no indication of their success, because what are people spending money on? People are spending money, for instance, countries, nations are spending fortunes on military arms. So just because someone's buying arms, does that as an indication of success in the GDP, for instance, it's also included whether someone's gone to a prostitute or not. They spent money on a prostitute, and that ups the GBC, not GBC, GDP, excuse me. And similarly, in another country where prostitution is illegal and people don't spend, therefore the GDP will be lower, and that means that they're less successful or they're less happy in the consuming of alcohol, cigarettes, drugs, all of these unwanted things, meat eating and so on. People spend money on this. So according to the statement here of Bhagavatam and how people see things, yes, you're spending wealth, you've got wealth, therefore you're successful. But we see that these things are signs that people are unhappy. Consuming drugs, alcohol, etc. means that people are unsatisfied. So even though they're spending more, but it's an indication that they're getting less. And yet, this is the measure of happiness in society. And of course, the other one is that law and justice will be applied on the basis of one's power. You don't get justice nowadays. You buy it if you have influence. Again, if you have money, then you can get a decision in court. That decision in court may not be really justice. It may be favorable to you, but it is not necessarily justice. It's not that the judges, leaders, politicians, prime ministers, president, etc., are the repositories of truth, and in a very neutral way, they dispense justice to anyone, regardless of who they are. As, for instance, it's stated in Bhagavatam that a king is meant to punish even his own son if he sees that he's broken the law, and indeed he treats all of his citizens as if they were his sons. That's not the case. We see that there's nepotism and favoritism, and if you have influence, if you make a lot of noise, then you can get a decision that may or may not be right, or you may only be able to get a right decision if you're able to pay for it, if you can pay for lawyers and courts, and if you exert pressure. For instance, here in Hungary, just recently, our religious status was again in jeopardy. It was just solely at the whim of a state, as it so happened. We leveraged Sattvic power. We brought cows to the parliament. We raised a hoo-ha in the media, and as a reaction to that, and we retained our own our religious status. Those churches that didn't retain their religious status, and there was in many cases. Not all, but in most cases, there was absolutely no reason why we should retain our status and not they. The only difference was is that we put our case before the people, we raised our voices, we protested, and so on. Therefore, we were able to get justice. Otherwise, we wouldn't have. We would have lost it. And of course, this is the way it goes, especially for the little man, the people. No one is really protecting their rights, but rather their rights are being abused constantly. And when their rights are abused, and if they don't know anybody, if they don't have any funds, if they don't levy some type of pressure or go out and fast to death in front of the courthouse, then they can't really expect a truth or a proper decision. So, unfortunately, these are the things that are waning. We see that it doesn't matter what type of revolution takes place, and who knows how many revolutions are going on in the world nowadays in terms of political changes, but a change in politics never brings about any real change. The only change that's going to come about is if somehow or another we're able to affect the revolution that Narada Muni talks about, which is a revolution and a change of heart, the purification of the change in the heart. And then, when there's a purification and a change of heart, then people will see that their wealth lies within, not without. And whether they're rich or not rich is secondary. The important thing is to unlock the real treasure of love of God in everyone's heart. That justice will be given to people when there are people who are pure-hearted and are not purchased by greed and driven by greed and not purchased by money in order to sway some political, judicial, legal decision. And money isn't supreme, but truth is supreme, and the absolute truth, Krishna, is supreme, then there will be a tolerable lifestyle. Hare Krishna.